and I joined February 1940. Harrison Line of Liverpool. Since I was about 6 years old, I've always wanted to go to sea. And so I got my school certificate in 39. I went to Nautical College, and in February 1940 I joined my first ship. Well, we're a seafaring family, really. My parents didn't have a say in the matter at all. Yeah, the ship, which was called the Scientist, it's that one on the left, she was in the Herculaneum dock, taking bunkers, coal bunkers. Oh, I went, I had an interview in the office, certainly. Oh, that would have been earlier on, a few weeks before, you know, and I was accepted, and a few weeks later they appointed me to a ship. I was a cadet, a sort of apprentice. I had two cousins at sea and an uncle. It was taking bunkers.
Yeah.
That is, loading the coal bunkers. She was already loaded. She had very little cargo in Liverpool. She went round to London to load the main cargo. So we went round to London. I was 16. I was quite excited. So we loaded full cargo in London for South Africa. A load of war material, a lot of it, and mostly general goods. We sailed in convoy from London as far as Gibraltar, and then the convoy split up and we went on our own to South Africa, Cape Town. Yeah. Well, it wasn't so bad. You know, crossing the bay was a bit rough, but it didn't delay us at all. We just came 50 miles west of Gibraltar, and then the convoy split up. Half of it went across the Atlantic, some went into the Mediterranean, and we went on our own to South Africa. Oh yes, we sort of half expected an air attack or submarine attack. We had to look out for mines in coastal waters here. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was watch keeping. I had another cadet with me, a senior, and the two of us alternated, four on and four off, throughout the day. Yes, I had watchkeeping duties, which was early training in general navigation and convoy work, signals. It was Captain Windsor, George Windsor. Well, we went round the South African coast, called at the main ports, East London, Port Elizabeth, Durban, then up into Portuguese East Africa, at Beira and Lorenzo Marques. Yes, we got ashore. Not really, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we came back by the same route. Beira, Durban, East London. We left Durban in April 1940, April 27th. And rounded the Cape, headed up for Freetown, where we were to join a homeward bound convoy at Freetown. But on May the 3rd, we caught up with this German raider. She was disguised as a Japanese ship. And we went on our way, unsuspecting, and got within a mile or so, and she opened fire on our ship, set it on fire, and we stopped and abandoned ship, and we were picked up by the raider itself and made prisoners of war. I was on the bridge with the second officer when they opened his attack. He put up a string of flags, but before we could decipher them, they opened fire. And his first shot was across the bow, you know, as a warning. But we turned away, and he sent a few more shots to hit us then. And that's when the ship broke out in flames. And captain ordered abandon ship, and we lowered the boats. The raider sent a launch out. He launched and told us to come alongside, and they picked us up. Altogether, I think there were 5 men killed and 2 or 3 injured. The crew at the time numbered about 70, mostly from Calcutta, like Lascars from Calcutta, with European officers and engineers. We were separated with the 20 white officers who were assigned to one tween deck, which was fitted out as accommodation with bunks and washrooms. And the Lascars were assigned to another hatch, another tween deck. Down in the South Atlantic in those days, you felt you were out of a war zone. It was only when you got north of the equator that you started worrying about German submarines. And we had no indication that there were German raiders operating in the South Atlantic. And so this ship looked like a Japanese trader, of which there were many around that area. And we just carried on, unsuspecting, and we sort of fell into the trap. Just abandoned ship, and we were on the ship for about 6 months, during which time he made further captures, and the prisoner accommodation got rather full and overflowing. So we had to be split up, and he sent one prison ship, a Norwegian called, what was her name, Tirana. She was called the Tirana, and he loaded her with a number of prisoners, about 100 of them by then. Mostly the sick and the halt, some women and children who were on a passenger ship. We were kept below decks during the attack. And after the attack was all over and the prisoners had been taken on board, we were allowed up on deck. And there we were allowed to witness the demise, either with bombs placed on the hull or with a torpedo. We got quite equitable treatment from the Germans. Our food was the same as what the crew got. When they had shortages, we had shortages. And when they had extra, like one of the ships had all kinds of foodstuffs for the South African forces in East Africa. Australian forces were there too. And there were lots of foodstuffs there, parcels from the Red Cross and people at home, you know, sending food parcels out to them. I'm afraid they were all spoils of war. How do we pass the time? Well, I know we played a lot of bridge. We played darts. And we were allowed up on deck for several hours a day. And we exercised just by marching round and round the deck. But otherwise, there was very little to do. Well, I suppose the original accommodation, there was a bit of separation, but when the prisoners became more numerous, they opened up another tween deck. And then we were all in it together then. In October, the raider caught a neutral ship, a Yugoslav. The name was the Dermital. She had a load of salt and 250 prisoners were placed aboard this ship. They spread tarpaulins over the salt and we sort of pitched in as and when we could. And that Dermital took us to Italian East Africa, Mogadishu. That took a month. She was very short of coal. They were burning furniture, hatch boards, dunnage, anything they could lay hands on, just to get the ship into Somalia. We were confined to the fore part of the ship. Oh, we were prisoners. No, that wasn't threatened at all. The only threat we got was we were informed that any attempt at insurrection, there were time bombs in the hull and they would be blown up. Well, we became prisoners of the Italians then. But that only lasted for 3 months. And then there was the invasion from Kenya with British, South African, Rhodesian forces from Kenya advanced through Somaliland, captured Mogadishu, overran our camp, and we became a distressed British seamen. In Africa, there was about 250. The Italians had even less than the Germans. There were no drugs, there were no... The only food seemed to be pasta and occasional goat's meat. But they had so little. And we just managed to survive. About, let me see, I think there was four or five went on the Tirana. The Tirana was sent to Vichy, France, but at that time France had been overrun and she was bound for Bordeaux. But she was torpedoed and was by a British submarine and there was a great loss of life then. As I say, we were the army advancing up through Somalia, Ethiopia, into Egypt and the Western Desert, mopped us up on the way, put us aboard a cruiser and sent us down to Mombasa. And in Mombasa we were sort of taken over by our own people. And they put us up in hotels until we could get a ship to take us home. But that was about 6 weeks before we got a ship. She called at Durban and Cape Town, and in both those places there were captured German and Italian ships, and they were looking out for crews for them. And a lot of our people were assigned to these ships. They're called as volunteers, and they were assigned to some of these captured ships. The rest of us stayed on this Near Hillis, he was called, and we eventually got to Glasgow in the middle of June. We came home from Cape Town accompanied by two aircraft carriers. I don't know whether you call that a convoy. The ship I was in was called the Near Hellas. She was an Atlantic passenger liner. Yeah. Originally, she'd been the Tuscania, but was now, then at the start of the war, she was under the Greek flag, but she was commandeered by the Admiralty for trooping. The voyage was disrupted on one occasion. We went into Gibraltar to board more troops. And leaving Gibraltar, we were suddenly told to go back again. And the word was that the Bismarck was out. And she was out. Our two aircraft carriers went looking for this Bismarck. And we had to go back to Gibraltar. One was the Illustrious and the other was the Argus. 15th of June. 1941 it was then. And I got the night train down to Liverpool and home. Yes, of course we were all interviewed in the office. Oh, that was a ship called the Barrister. That was round the Cape to Alexandria. Not that voyage, but the next voyage, the Barrister was wrecked off the west of Ireland.
Oh dear.
She, I think they called it Torch, Operation Torch, invasion of North Africa. And we'd had a cargo of war material for Algiers. And we left Algiers empty, in ballast. Called to Gibraltar to form a convoy. And the convoy set off for England, part of it for the Bristol Channel, some of it for Liverpool. And we were in the section for Glasgow on the west side. So when we approached the British coast, two sections went up the Irish Sea and we went up the west of Ireland to make the Clyde. We'd had no sights, no sight of land, no sun sights, no star sights. And we didn't know where we were. The weather was very wet, misty, foggy. And we were just 10 miles east of where we thought we were and ran aground off Connemara. I was in Colombo. Called Sri Lanka now, it was Ceylon then.
Yeah.
Yes, we were in Colombo when the Japanese surrender came to pass. I was a third officer by then. At the end of the war, I had 4 years to serve. Being a prisoner didn't count, you know. So I was still a cadet when the war ended, yeah. Really, we were out at anchor, you know, there was no shore leave.